Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome to When Pigs Fly, because simply BS dozen around here. Thank you, everybody. I hope you're all having a glorious morning, afternoon. As Robin Williams would have said, good morning, Vietnam. Anyway, just had to say that. Hope everybody's doing good. This is, of course, my Andrew Fetter. And I have a interesting show today, a monologue I'm doing, and it's regarding cause and effect. And I've had to do a series of certain monologues now because some information has been transposed to me, and I just feel like passing the baton down. Before I do, I do have a special announcement for those in the Los Angeles area. I will be conducting a weekly class with an associate of Sharon Joseph, who is an esteemed channeler. I look forward to doing that, and so here's the information. Starting on June 7th at 7:30 p.m. in the Calabasas, California, we'll be doing a weekly class, it will be over. We'll be doing, of course, meditations and chants and discussions of examples of Kabbalah and angels, numerology, past lives, manifesting, healing, and dealing with self, developing self, your energy of your self-worth and self-esteem, and getting tuned with your higher self, and connecting with your guide energy, and so on and so on. It's never ends, right? But for the information, for those who live in this area and get it, dates, as well as, because we start on June 7th, which is a Thursday evening, for the information of where it will be located or how it will be conducted, or any other things you have any questions regarding, please feel free to call this number, 818-912-2535, or you may email directly to Sharon Nikta, SharonNitka, at sbcglobal.net. Of course, I posted it on my site on VBS Radio. So do, if you got any questions, you can always email me and I can forward it to you. Again, look forward to seeing you there, those in the Los Angeles area. Should be really unique evenings. Again, that starts on June 7th at 7:30. Class, I believe, will last approximately about an hour and a half, around 9:30-ish. So anyway, I hope everybody comes. Now, for today's show, before I do, I wish everybody a happy Memorial Weekend that's coming up. Should be, have fun. Now, there, like I said, certain information comes to myself, and I felt that was lined up with certain issues. And this one element I wanted to discuss, and I think I may have discussed it in several other shows in the past, because sometimes information overlaps and transcends and integrates to other things. And when I think of the universe and the whole, what comes to mind? If you think of what the world is, like let's say Earth, it's a sort of circular, right? And if you think of its orbit, it's circular. If you think about the activity in relationship to our Milky Way, it's circular. Things rotate, evolution, rotation, and orbit, circular. And every aspect in the universe is just basically circular. I remember Einstein had discussed in his relativity how things are curved, like space is curved and time is curved. Things are curved. It was because things are actually in a circular proportion. You know, look at the worlds. Everything's rotating. Even atoms, energy, rotation, going around and around. And, you know, and you would think that if that's the case, things are circular, rotating around, then that means all life is sort of circular if you think about it, because everything's in a state of harmony. You think of things within areas within life that we see it, you know, it's in rotations, it's circular. And this is what causes what people think of the cause and effect. And sometimes cause effects is actually more harmonious. Without even the cause effect, it's still a circle. Everything is in it. But within our society, in the element of our 5D world, we do always have cause and effect. And this is often termed in Taoism as the yin and yang, and in Kabbalism, the yin versus yang. It's in relationship to every aspect within the universe, and it's just how even we relate to the universe. It's our perspective, but this is an ongoing thing. It's a circular that's continually going and coming. Death and rebirth, even our blood, our arteries, our veins, is all within a circular, but it's all within a relationship. It's all within a cause and effect. You breathe in oxygen, you exhale carbon dioxide, cause and effect in a circular motion. Everything is in circular within this 5D world, and everything has a cause and effect in the relationship there is. Everything, for every action, there is a reaction. But there is not a duality. A duality, again, this is not a duality. A duality would assume there is a disconnect, a parallel. Two things can go either way, which is that goes parallel. And that's sort of like, if we're talking about instances of time and thing, I wouldn't say duality, because there's more than just one element. It's unlimited. But in our 3D world, I think people misconstrue thinking duality, utilizing that word toward cause and effect. And cause and effect is not duality, because they're interrelated to each other. They support one another. Without one, you wouldn't have the other. So it's like light and dark. How would you know what light is and what dark is in that regards, good and bad? That there's no duality there. It is dependent on one to another in this perspective within our 5D world. Now, if you go beyond our 5D world to the absolute nothingness, then there is no cause effect, and there's actually just simply a spin, absolute harmony of nothingness, a full circle. So again, there is no duality. I don't know why people, so many, use this, but it is absolutely incorrect. Again, duality by definition is state of being of two. Yet in reality, we live in an effect of one, where all things in reality are in a symbiosis state, and they act as one. Symbiosis means a close, prolonged association of two, in a sense, so it is really one, or an association of things. Everything is dependent on one another, so it is in reality a one state. Everything is related to everything. So, but we often try to define things as being separated. Now, when we perceive things in relation. We see a ball bounce off a wall, for example. But the reaction of this ball is not limited to the action. You know, a ball bounces off a wall, the ball comes off, and it affects wind, and the wind affects something else that maybe we don't even see. Maybe there's a fly there. The wind pushes the fly, or there's other elements that we don't even perceive that happen. That's why it's unlimited. You cannot limit upon the reactions. For every cause of action, there's a reaction, but the action of the reaction is not limited. Therefore, there is reactions upon reactions beyond two, three, or more. This is where duality is a fallacy, because it assumes, again, there's two when there isn't. If I hit a marble, or actually go play pool, and you're shooting the pool with it so you can sort of get an idea. I'm shooting a ball, the cue ball, into a whole bunch of balls, right? Stripes and solids. Now, my initial hit is on one ball, for example. But now that ball reacts and hits two and three and four, which happens erect more and more at the same time. So in reality, that reaction has caused an effect, not duality, but a multiple relationships. And even as that ball was striking, again, it was running on the board, on that felt, and it caused a reaction on the felt that we may not see, or within the wind, or whatever. So there's a multiple, or when my arm was reacting, hitting the cue stick, it affected my arm, which needed blood, which needed oxygen. Do you see there's no one facet of interaction, of a reaction? You cannot limit those things. This is where duality is a fallacy. This is where all relationships in every essence is multiply intertwined with, which is beyond what we assume all the time. And this is where I'm going to get into when you look at things in, like karma and relationship, when people try to simplify things. I mean, I have often said things are really actually simplified in a state of understanding, and they actually are. Things are really actually more simple. People tend to make things more complicated than they are. It's because when they simplify, they try to make things into round pegs and square pegs, and try to put those round pegs in those round holes. So they want to fix things so they fit things in a logical system. And in reality, that is making things more complex than they are. Because things aren't pegs in round circles. And when you look at things in an infinite way of looking things, which is the reality of our universe, then when you look at that, you realize it's actually more simplified. It's not as more complex. We see with our eyes are making it more complex than it really is, but they're actually in the relationships and the reality of our universe is more simplified. Even karma and things, our reasoning behind it, we try to figure out why things certain happen. That's when it gets complex, because we're trying to find out ourselves what these relationships are. You know, the very essence of karma of your relationships and your experiences are the reactions, which are not limited to your own presumed fishbowl perceptions. Do you understand? I mean, karma is not limited. It is a reasoning of events that are not limited. The experiences we have are just that, experiences. How we reflect upon them is our own reaction as well. And yet these reactions are our own reactions, reactions to many forms. Even not reacting is reacting. Reacting is simply the momentary choice. By what are these relationships that we have? Why are we in these circles? These are one or many reasons for these karma perhaps, or the karma attachments. Perhaps, maybe. This is where you learn and you grow. This is what karma is. It's basically the experience. This is where it gets very simplistic. That is actually what it is, and it's our reactions. We intend to make them more complicated. The experience gives you the opportunity to heal and grow. That's it. Now, what you do and how you do it makes it more complex, because it's your reaction and your own perspective. It's like when you try to look things in a finite way toward something that's infinite, it becomes complex. If I were to sit there and go, okay, here's a whole, go to the beach and there's count the look at all the sand that's in there, and there's so many grains of sand, so little teeny little rocks of sand. I mean, it's infinite amount of sand beyond imagination. And I tell you, figure out how many sand is out there, and it's like, that's ridiculous, because you can't count that. It becomes too complex. If I tell you to fit, now if I take a cup and go, okay, here's a cup, and inside that, now how many are there? And then you get more complex, because you're trying to take from what's infinite into a finite approach. And this is where people have issues of making things more difficult. And this is what happens, like, for the action and reaction concepts and the karma thing of instances. People tend to make things more complicated than they really are. It's our reactions that make them complicated. So anyway, likewise, like, get back to reaction and a reaction. Likewise, your reaction will create a new reaction in this lifetime or even next lifetime. Yet it is the irony, which is sometimes that we play like the hamster and do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and expecting this different result. I mean, here's an example. It's so obvious. It's like all the time the same thing. Every 4 years in America, for example, we have elections. And the same thing happens where politicians promise people stuff. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to improve the economy. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. They all are their promises. And what happens is the same result. They go in and they get elected and they don't comply to their promises. And then they get the same thing where they have special interests where money takes care of paying their things, whether it's presidents, congressmen, senators, whatever, governors, mayors. Special interests take care of them financially, you know, whatever. Corporations, banks, whatever. And then people complain and find out about it. And corruption still happens. And the same old circle of circumstances. We run through the, and we question why, how come, and yet we're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Get it? Our elections. I'm going to elect a new person. Now I want Obama. I want maybe Romney. I want somebody, constantly wanting somebody new. We're a different party. We're the Republicans. We're going to change it. We're the Democrats. We're going to change it. They're constantly coming up with new things, but it's still the same thing. And look at even through our perspectives, we tend to look at things in our limited way where we expect different results in different situations because we have this us versus them thing. So here we are, let's say, for example, in the Arab world where they have so-called Arab Spring, like, example, Egypt. They're having elections, and they just voted, right? So they expect something different. But because they never change the way they do the perspective of things, look who is now possibly coming into their thing, into the realm. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood, and where they're wanting to implement Sharia law and implement a theocracy within their government. That's, here they are going to be elected through a democracy, which will essentially supposed to be out of choice and free will, supposedly. It becomes mob rule where the majority will now put their morals on the others, since there's no real democracy, it becomes mob rule. It takes away for what the freedom of choice in the first place was, isn't it? And that's the irony. And the reason why, and you have a new dictatorship, and you have a new tyrant, and the new tyrant becomes either theology, you may even have, maybe you don't have a dictatorship as opposed to, like, let's say, a Nazi dictatorship like Hitler. You have an oligarchy dictatorship like you have in Iran, where you have a group of mullahs or one mullah. You have a group of mullahs, imams, discussing policy, and then they have a puppet or whatever that voices supposed elections. This is what I was talking about. This is that you expect a reaction for a different reaction, yet you have the same result. It's basically because you have the same mentality, which I'm going to get into. And this is the problem. What is the root cause of all these issues? What would we learn? that this is the real question of questions and the results of what the cause and effect, because we keep on playing the hamster. We do the same thing over and over and over again, and we expect a different result. And I remember there was a thing that Einstein had once said, if I can remember it. Have it think it somewhere here. Einstein once said, I believe, that, you know, he said something to the extent that Einstein once said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different results. Yet, we continue to do that. I had to look that up. I'm sorry. I had it, and I forgot it. I mean, but let's look at the root cause of the cause. And perhaps that's never really the end-to-end question, because, again, that would be like taking sand and putting it in a cup and then saying that's the root cause. It's like taking a sample of something, yet it's like taking a sample of infinity. How can you take a sample of infinity and say that's infinity? Because now you've taken infinity and made it to a finite. And this is the problem with people utilizing the same thing over again. It's like the never ever pie question. And perhaps the real question is not how can we cease the same cycle. That would be probably actually the real question. How can we cease doing the same old cycle? That would be what I would think would be the real question here. For example, where are you in this lifetime? What is the suffering? Why are you suffering? What is going on? Why are you in these relationships? Karma is said to have a cycle, one understanding of things. And one understanding of this, of the cycle of karma, is that it's related to ego, the alter ego. If you were to take a drawing, and you do that in front of some of my clients, I say, here's karma on one, and karma would create, let's say, suffering, which creates delusion. And that's, a sense, the circle of karma. And then from delusion creates more karma, and again, again. So it never ends. And the middle of that is ego. That is the issue. It's all about your ego. It's what even some call, this is, you know, the peg that's inside the wheel of karma is the ego. And that's what feeds upon the lie. And that's what distances ourselves from our true path, or what they would say, the way or Tao. And we are heading into the wrong direction, creating the chet, or the sin. And we're losing, we're going away from having greater understanding of our true self and feeding upon the alter ego, thinking that's ourselves, and in reality that isn't. The true self is self. And that's opposite from the alter ego. So how do we reverse this karma circle? That's the real question. And it's really simple, too. Again, simple. One of the aspects of the rule is this, and I'm talking this type of karma because there's other karmas, this type of cause and effect karma of situations is to do things, good things called merits, like helping somebody. That's real simple. Another way is, it's even broader, it's called meritous acts. And I'll tell you the difference. Doing a merit. Merit is helping somebody. Merit would be like giving donation to help, feeding somebody, helping a little lady across the street. Those are merits. If you had a village and they were right near a lake, and the lake had a bunch of fish, if you gave them food, like fish to eat, that would be merit. Meritus would be, oh, by the way, besides here, I give you fishing poles. That's the merit. I'm going to teach you how to fish with these fishing poles or nets, let's say. That would, giving them information is the meritus act, which also very much removes the cause and effect. It reverses it around. So when you do a merit, what it does, it creates what? A blessing. And the blessing creates what? An awakening. Again, it's still cause and effect. And what it is reversing the wheel, goes the other way around. So it basically undoes the karma. And that's basically what we try to do. We're trying to remove the karma. There are people who have said, like, karma is basically, we have like a sandbox, or you can call it like a little garden, and we're all gardeners, or some people call cultivators. So you're a gardener, and the whole essence of being gardening is to remove those weeds of karma. And as you pull one up, it may not even be a weed, it could be a beautiful flower, and you're so focused on the flower, you don't realize you need to focus on the seed, which is the original cause. And we pull that up, and you pull that up, and another one pops up behind it. Because we have so much from thousands of years of lifetimes that we have to re-pull these up. But then we have these situations that cause karma attachments. When we get, we look at the flower and go, oh, I need to have that flower. Oh, it's so beautiful. This positive things. And these things are like we can say, like clothes and cars and even people. That's really very much, I have to have this BMW, or I have to have this Mercedes, or I have to wear these clothes. What do I do? Or this phone. We make things into karmic attachments. But we also things with people. I have to be with her. I don't know what I would do. I'm going to die if I'm not with that person. That becomes an attachment. What would I do? Attachment. When people get so enthralled on a situation, it becomes a karma attachment. And you have to re-look at that, why you have such this desire of that. I mean, it's okay. We have certain desires, that's normal. But if you look at the cause of that, that's where you get to the understandings of these attachments. Our unlimited desires always feel at a loss if they are not. It is of attachments. You think you're going to lose something, it becomes attachment. So on this purpose, and this is the reality, this is what we try, is really the effect and cause and effect cycle that we must try at our best to try to relinquish. We're never perfect, we try to. Also, those like our siblings, or our parents, our lovers, our friends, and enemies, they are karma relationships. So is why we are in these relationships. The cause. A lifetime, maybe even the best and the worst. A murder, the victim and the perpetrator. That was karma. They go, why do I have that suffering? But maybe you in a past life murdered somebody else. That is the cycle. That's the circle, the cause. And when somebody stops is when they recognize, wait a second, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to go back for revenge. I'm not going to do this. I'm not. You discourse. Continuous cycle of you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to hit you, I'm going to hit you back. That's it. Like you punch me in the face, now I'm going to punch you back. The continue eye for an eye continues this karma thing. As they say, when you die, you sometimes can come back as the enemy that you were the enemy of. That's karma. That's the cycle, the cause and the effect. I mean, you'll often wonder, why am I with them, with these certain type of people? The answer is the root of the karma. You'll know from the lesson or the experience of it why that is. And only you can figure that out. Not me, you. Sometimes it is the test of who we are. Or perhaps it is even the vehicle to keep us on a path, or rather the opportunity to head in the correct direction. We might meet somebody of an affinity or karma that actually helps us find our true selves or better ourselves or teach us how to love and teach us in a positive aspect or get us on the right direction. That's karma too. Again, it helps you move along, but it's just a vehicle part of it. In reality, we never, 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 never cease to learn. We have always the opportunity to learn. We may even close our own hearts to the truth, but it is our true nature that unfolds from these experiences. Or rather gives us, perhaps, the opportunity to head toward the correct direction. And there's only two directions. And this action is and causes the reactions, this lifetime or the next, or perhaps even others like simple marbles. We hit other marbles. We affect the reactions of others. Maybe it is our karmic reaction to help do something, to create something in a positive aspect. I'll give you examples. Bad as it was, let's say 9/11, the reaction when they hit the Twin Towers came down, there was an opportunity for people to come together. That may have been the karmic reaction. So those people who hit the towers, supposedly when those came down, and that affected the people around there, people to come together, gave the opportunity. So even on something as a negative could become a positive. The suffering utilized is teaching us to become in harmony with each other. So karma is a cause and effect. And there's no one way to look at it. That's what I'm saying to you. There's multiple ways of looking at things. Not one fixed way. It's like when I throw a pebble, it's thrown into a pond, it creates waves. But it does create the action, which is then a response to another action. This is true. Karma is always a cause and effect. Every moment is a cause. And Kabbalah and Tao both elaborate to this importance of action, cause and effect. All things are in motion. We are literally motion. We're not things. We're motion. We're basically cause and effect. I mean, if you look at us in the real form, we are cause and effect. We do not sit there and stay at a standstill. We consistently move all the time. As I've said, we're like a verb. So the question is, when you're aware, are focused on the cause of each element of your action, that is the way you further your path toward the light or the way. It's when you become aware of the cause, you become aware, oh my God, if I do this, it'll cause that. If I do this, it will cause this, this, and this. You become more aware. This is part of being awakened. When people look at the way those things are, that's when you look at the cause and effect of things, that is really becoming awakened. Not the waking, oh, by the way, I know that there's Illuminati. That's not being awakened. That's not at all. Or I know that the banks are like this or this. That's not awakened. Awakening is a spiritual awakening of heading toward the direction of learning your true nature, your true self, knowing that we are infinite. Right? Which when I say you, it's you, yourself, your soul, but in a broader, also within the universe. Now, look, I can take this understanding of karma and go into a broader context of what it is. You can look at the world at large. I mean, I can go in any aspect. I mean, you can even look in people, if you're those who read the Bible, you can look at the Bible. I mean, it's spoken clearly within so many forms within the Bible. And I know it got hashed down on a dogma last time I spoke, or one of the times. But even within there, even amongst the prophets, they speak like the actions of the pharaohs caused his, by his own words, created the plagues. And there was a reason, like your own thoughts, your own messages, your own feelings, your own intentions create these actions. So intentions create actions. Even how, like, for example, Israel is treated in the world, so will the world be treated. That's what I can say. And this is says in the both biblical essences, how, and even how things are treated. Everything's cause and react, cause and effect. I mean, these are subtle sayings, and they're all saying whatever dogma underlying, and this is within understandings with human consciousness and human understandings, which embedded in us of the sayings of the cause and effect. It is our understanding of the cause and effect that we have around us that we need to adjust and experience and learn from. And these cause and effects just don't apply to individuals. They go toward the communities, and then from the communities at large to the nations and nations upon nations. There is a cause and effect. Our very own thoughts are cause. Our intentions behind our thoughts are cause. Our words are cause. Our reactions are subjected to the causes. There is no chicken before the egg or egg before the chicken. That's why it's a circle. It's not linear. It's a cause and effect. By changing our reactions, changes the cause to the reaction. It's always a reaction to the reaction. If you look at our politics and our mindset of us versus them, what is that cause? The us versus them, the cause, the soon perspective of separation mentality creates hatred, division. The cause of thinking things are finite creates this reaction. It actually, by doing that, creates one thing. This cause and reaction lowers your frequency into an element of division and hate. This is the reaction. So how do you change things? If you look in terms of things of finite, you're going to continue thinking we are separated for us versus them. This will cause indefinitely the reaction of divide and thus hate. This is the same crap of insanity that I'm speaking over. The insanity is thinking we're all divided. The insanity is thinking the world is finite, the finite world. The insanity is the reaction to reality and suffering. The ego thinks itself separate from things. The ego thinks that the universe is finite. The ego thinks that there are good ones and bad ones, that there is a division among souls. The ego thinks God and the universe is separate from us. The ego thinks that God is somehow separate from them. The ego is and has been the demise of humanity and will continue to be the demise of humanity. The ego is the element of war, the cause of war, poverty, ignorance. All war, poverty, ignorance is in ego. This is the cause and it is the effect. The world that we live in, the ego created money. The ego created rich and poor. The ego created kings and tyrants, including those who are voted to assume power. The ego is the bullshit to blame. The ego is to say it's the Illuminati or some other group because they assume the perception of finite, the division of their reality, us versus them. The ego only brings one thing, more karma, more suffering, more delusion. So now I ask you about you. Now, I did write one thing, and I wish to sort of read it to you. Let me pull it up here. So the thing I wrote, last week I gave something that I wrote earlier, and this is something sort of poetic, if you want to call it that. But this is what I hear. I hear the confusion of simplicity and the profit of complexity. The breathing of the winds, the wandering of our minds, the glorifying selfish tongues of manipulations, the gardening the egos of singular perceptions, the voices within the flowers, with hearts yearning for their desires, the fragrance connecting of the universal harmony is truth and not the calamity. Journeys of destination, dancing to the winds of salvation, the piano, the cello, playing the Mozart's concertos, souls graveling to the shores, rivers moving toward motivations, lives the past, being the actions of tomorrow, learning to be in the moment with no sorrow. Within the ravine, the raining of green drops, birds chirping, the ever infinity, the many thoughts. Minds in rhythm of compassion, souls filling the nothing of wisdom. The silence, the laughter, the joy with no fear is the essence of what I hear. that was basically a broad sense of what I was trying to say in a poetic way. And I know I've finished sort of early, but I just wanted to go through what was necessary to understand for what is cause and effect. It's quite simple, but it relates to everything from our minute areas to the broadening, from our daily lives. And I just was hoping that from my today's show that you look at things a little bit differently. Try to see things more in an infinite way and understand the cause and effect and be like more aware of the cause. When you do something, it causes something else. Things are like sort of like in a chess game. You make a move and you make a move, it causes another move. And when you make a move, there might be a series of moves. One action could cause multiple reactions. And those actions are multiplied by other actions. So I want to thank everybody for listening in. And I know this show went rather quick, and I felt that I just had to go through what was necessary, not to rehash, elaborate, to fill in only that what it is. But I want to wish everybody a very happy Memorial Weekend, those in the United States, and I want to wish everybody a very great, great thing, and God bless you all. And I'm going to close with a cool song called, I thought it was sort of parable of today's times, by Genesis, The Land of Confusion. So I close with that song, and God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend.
Goody Two Shoes, Betty by Booze time again. Good night, honey.
Sweet dreams, dear. Thank you. morning, dear.
Hey, Midge. What a terrible dream. I'm parched. Oh, that's better. I could use another one of those. That's one heck of a nurse.
And thank you. God bless you all and have a glorious weekend.